Don't pay retail for your diamond engagement ring or gift. Come to cleanorigin.com. Founded by a leading family in the diamond industry for more than a century, we're experts in lab-grown diamonds because that's all we do. Clean Origin, the only diamond jewelers who give you a 100-day, no-questions-asked return on your purchase. Head to cleanorigin.com or one of our retail stores and mention code RADIO10 for 10% off your purchase. That's cleanorigin.com, code RADIO10.
Welcome back to another episode of Talking Lamar. This episode is the Lost Tapes episode. This is back when I was part-time and I was doing it from the Budweiser warehouse. So let's go back in time, see what we got.
What are you talking about?
What are you talking about?
Sorry, I forgot what I was talking about.
What are you talking about?
I am talking to you.
That's just what I was talking about.
It's Talking Lamar.
In a movie this long, you don't think of it as going to the concession stand. You think of it as going for supplies.
2.5 hours into the movie, a soldier says, "I'm not going to make it." I said, "I hear you, brother. I don't think I'm going to either."
I've never been in a long-term relationship with any kind of woman that would get me in any kind of trouble.
Right.
But when I was very, very young, I'd went to a party, and I'd hooked up with this girl, and everything went really well. And so the following weekend, I get a phone call from her during the week, and she wants to get, you know, she calls me, you know, and I'm like, yeah. Oh, cool. So I said, well, let's go out and get dinner. And she didn't want to do that. She just wanted to go ride around. And I'm thinking, oh, yeah, I'm the man. Yes,
right.
I'm the man.
Riding around.
So I go pick her up. We're riding around town. And she says, come on, let's go somewhere, you know, so we'll sort of be by ourselves. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's me, buddy.
Yeah.
So we drive down. We take a couple of turns here and there. She's directing me. So we pull up in this old quarry. It's a granite quarry where they dig up the rocks and stuff.
Yeah.
So we're sitting there and we're talking. And so she's telling me, she says, you know, that deal last weekend, you know, she said, I'm sort of in a relationship. And I'm like, oh, well, okay. You know, it's no problem. I mean, I'm not heartbroken. You know, I'm getting ready to crank the car to leave. And all of a sudden, my driver's side door jerks open and she goes, "This is my boyfriend. And I'm not getting a good feeling about this at all."
Did she take you there as an ambush?
Yeah, yeah. And so this, he jerks his door open and he says, "Man, I'm going to beat on you to 2:00 in the morning." And I looked at my watch and it's 9:15. And I'm thinking, this is not working out for me.
Wow. So what the deal was that she did something she shouldn't have done, but she was saying that you were forcing her into it.
Caught on it. Somebody told her, whatever. So now, you know,
she sacrificed you to save herself.
So I turn around and I look at her and I go, "What's the deal?" She goes, Get out and fight. And I'm like, hey, you wanted to fight? You get out and fight. I'm not going to be fighting.
She said, "Get out and fight."
So, man, he's just jumping up and down and he's hitting the wall with his fist and he's just going crazy. And I'm sitting here going, "Oh, man," you know, and I'm trying to think of what to do. And so he goes, "Well, the hell with this," and he goes back to his car, and he gets out a shotgun out of the car.
Lamar.
And let me explain something to you. There's no worse sound in the world than the sound of a pump shotgun being pumped. And I'm like, and I'm sure, probably wasn't anything in the gun, okay? Probably not. But here's the deal. I'm going for it. I'm believing it. I'm not, you know. And so he comes over, and so he's sitting there, he's telling me all this stuff, you know, and he's got the shotgun, and his family owns this place, and, you know, he's telling me how the plan's going to work. He's going to blow my head off and push my car off in one of the quarries and cover it up. Nobody will ever find me. And I'm thinking, it's a good plan. I can see it working right off the spur of the moment. Yeah. I see him getting away with it.
Yeah, you can see it working.
Yes, I could.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, "Oh, man." You know, so this, and at this point, you know, and so he says, "Get out of the car." So I get out of the car, and he says, "I'm going to give you one opportunity to beg for your life." I still got bruises on my knees from that gravel. I ain't kidding.
Are you serious? You had to get down on your knees and beg for your life?
I hit the ground. I looked at him. I said, "Hoss, listen to me. I said, if you will move your car and let me back out of here, you and I will never see each other again. Her and I will you'll never hear from me again. I may move to Alaska. I don't know, but you let me out of here." I said, "I'm not downgrading your plan, but probably somewhere down the road you're going to get caught." He says, "All right." He gets up, he moves the car. Man, you talk about backing up a car. I got out of there, and I was about 20 miles from my hometown, and so as in another town. So I drove back to my hometown, and I
backwards.
Oh man, I'm telling you, I'm afraid to turn around. I'm afraid to stop to turn around, you know. So I get up to the Dairy Queen, which is where we all hung out. So I'm still shaking, man. So I get out, and everybody's like, "What's wrong?" You know. So I start telling this story. One of my buddies goes, "Well, if it had been me, I'd have took that gun away from him and kicked his ass." I said, "Well, I wish you'd have been with me. Because I could have used you at that time."
Did you ever see him or her again?
He called me about 2 or 3 days later and apologized. I guess he got to thinking about he could get in some sort of trouble for that. And he called and gave me this big story. He was drunk and blah, 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 blah. And, you know, I said, "Look, just whatever. Man, we didn't. I just let it go."
Was she worth it?
No!
I mean, this wasn't some spectacularly sexy, wonderful woman.
Hey, I'm 17. How good's it gotta be? I mean,
that's an amazing woman, though, that could take getting caught fooling around in her boyfriend and
turn it around
and put the whole thing on you like it was your idea. You
cunning,
forced her. You know, it takes two to tango.
Cunning and evil.
Yeah.
I wonder where she ended up.
What's more evil than a teenage girl, though?
No, you're right. I mean, that's why I think the Israeli army drafts them.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're killing machines.
Absolutely.
Do you ever go by that quarry now?
Oh, no, no, no. I don't even go in. You know, that's in, I don't even hardly go to the state. What are you talking about?
Don't pay retail for your diamond engagement ring or gift. Come to cleanorigin.com. Founded by a leading family in the diamond industry for more than a century, we're experts in lab-grown diamonds because that's all we do. Clean Origin, the only diamond jewelers who give you a 100-day, no-questions-asked return on your purchase. Head to cleanorigin.com or one of our retail stores and mention code RADIO10 for 10% off your purchase. That's cleanorigin.com, code RADIO10.
Hey, Lamar.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Good. You hear what we're talking about this morning? Your mama coming to save you?
My mom ran the soda fountain and a little grill at the drugstore in town.
Oh, yeah.
And so that was a hangout for people, adults and kids and everything else. And our football team was having a miserable year, and somehow a discussion got on about the coach and whether he's a good coach or bad coach. And evidently I participated in the conversation. Don't remember exactly what I had said. But some man that was at the drugstore went and reported that to the football coach.
Mm-hmm.
So the next day at school, the football coach calls me into his office and sits me down, and he says, "It's been told to me that you made some disparaging remarks about me and, you know, my coaching ability, and you've disrespected me." And I'm like, "What are you talking about?" And he said, "Well, I had an adult come tell me this." And he said, "You know, that's disrespectful, and I'm going to have to give you a few licks for that."
Are you kidding me?
What?
What the hell is
Lamar,
this?
Had you done that?
Well, I remember the conversation, but I mean, I remember everybody talking about, you know, blah, 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 his coaching abilities and whatever, and I'm sure that I spouted off something about his lack of coaching ability, but
dude,
it wasn't like I was talking about his mama. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
I know you came up in a small town, but adults beating up on kids, where is that okay?
So where did this go?
And so I said, "Well, I don't think we're going to do that." And he goes, "Oh, yeah, we're going to do that. I just want to tell you what." He had a phone on his desk. I said, "Let me call my mom and let her come down here, and you explain it to her. And if she thinks it's okay, then we'll go from there." He said, "Well, call your mama." He says, "I know your mama. Call your mama." So I call her, and I sort of give her a brief overview, and she's, "I'll be there in 5 minutes." So we're sitting there, and he's pretty full of himself. He's got the paddle out, and he's thinking this is going to go great. And so it was almost right before she got to the door, I could almost hear the whistle tune from The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
Mm-hmm.
She opened that door, and she came in, and she set her pocketbook down, and she said, "Give me a quick overview of what you're talking about." And the guy said, "Well, da-da-da-da-da," and I can't tell you who it was, but it was an adult came and told me. My mama said, "Stop right there." She said, "Are you going to sit here and tell me there's somebody that considers himself a grown-ass man that's going to come tattletale on a high school student to the coach because he said something about you don't know what you're doing on the football field?" And he goes, "Well, that's generally the gist of it. I look at it as a form of disrespect." My mama said, "Well, you hadn't won any games so far this year, it seems to me that whatever they were saying, it must have been true. Did he say anything bad as far as any kind of cut? He goes, no, he was just saying something bad about me. And she said, and so you're wanting to put him over a desk and give him 4 or 5 licks for that? He said, well, that's my plan. She said, ain't happening. She looked at me and she said, ain't you got a class you need to be in learning something? Because I don't have you down here not to learn. Go to your class right now. And I got up and left, and she finished out talking to him, and I never heard anything else about it.
Oh, that is terrific. She's so right.
I knew that he was in trouble when your mom used the phrase, a grown-ass man.
Yeah, exactly.
That's when I knew exactly. That it wasn't going his way.
You know who makes me sick in this story? The guy who was hanging out at the soda shop that thought he'd suck up to the coach. An adult saying something to the coach so he could ingratiate. I had an adult do that to me once as an adult, sucked up to another guy who overheard me saying something and sucked up to this guy and said, did you hear that Bob Lacey was saying that? I have had no respect for this bum ever since. What kind of a man does that?
It's ridiculous. Now, don't get my mama wrong. I had plenty of butt whoopings when I was in school, and she was all for it. But this one, this was
different.
Yeah. I can't imagine you doing anything that you need to get butt whoopings for.
No, I've had my time. I've had my time in the office, but I didn't feel like this was one that if I deserve it, I deserve it. But I didn't feel like it was one, and I didn't think my mom was going for that. And evidently, he said, I know your mom. I'm thinking, I don't think you do. So
That's a great story.
Yeah, she came in and she cleared that up.
How old were you then, by the way?
I was like a sophomore in high school.
And you were going to be bent over the desk of another man and paddled on the behind?
What website, and do they take Visa?
Listen,
that's what that sounds like, doesn't it?
No, it does.
Listen, this is in the 70s. Corporal punishment was very normal.
I mean, honestly, if I said to you, so if you have a fetish for husky country boys taking a whooping for dissing a coach, go to huskycountryboy.com and bring your Visa.
You know, if that were like, you know, the kind of movie I'm talking about, the coach would have on those dark red coachy shorts. Oh, yeah. Yeah, the whistle. Right.
Yeah, listen, I was built to take a lick. There ain't no doubt about that. But, I mean, you know.
That guy who went to the coach, what a little weasel.
Knowing Lamar as we do, a smart ass like you is born, not made. So I know that you were mouthing off about something. But that guy needs to man up. He's the football coach, and a football coach is going to get all kinds of trash talk.
I agree.
Yeah, because I was participating in a conversation with adults. I mean, I was right there in the middle of it. But, I mean, you know, the fact that I was talking to adults meant I wouldn't have said anything that was, you know, off color or anything like that. And he didn't say that. My mama tried her best to get him to tell her who the guy was at Tattletale. She wanted some of him, too, but that didn't. He wouldn't
give
that up.
The weasel, yeah.
You know what's great about your mom? Your mom was a classic old school mom in that she was allowed to call her boy a chowderhead.
Yeah, right.
Oh yeah. Oh,
I mean,
yes.
she knew what the deal was with you, but nobody else was allowed to do that to you.
Yeah, no.
That's an old school mom.
Yeah, she was old school.
Because today's helicopter moms, we all believe our children are so profoundly gifted.
Mm-hmm.
We would be amazed if someone came and told us something bad about our kids. But we were raised by parents who were like, oh yeah, my kid's a dumbass.
This is the same mom when I was in junior high school and bangs were in, where you grow your head, you know, cut the bangs. Mm-hmm. I wanted to wear bangs. And mom looked at me and she said, you can't wear bangs. Your face is too fat. You don't even do that. Don't even think about wearing bangs.
Well, my little brother.
No time for any kind of diplomacy.
My little brother in like 10th or 11th grade. Came home and his English teacher had given him this glowing report on some project he'd done. My father took one look at that and said, you sure she got the right kid?
Keep that good feeling
just
going,
keep
Dad.
That self-esteem a building. Because, you know, I know you and there's no way. I mean, does she, maybe you got somebody else's paper?
I was in the 5th grade when flare pants came out. Back then, everything was straight legged. When flare pants first came out, I wanted a pair of flare legged pants.
Yeah.
First thing my mama said, she said, flare legged pants? She said, that's for thin boys. That's not for fat boys.
So in Morons in the News, we had this guy in Idaho who built a rotating treehouse. What could be cooler than that? But there was this one tree that prevented his treehouse from making the full rotation. So he strapped a running chainsaw to the end of his treehouse, and as it came rotating by, it sawed the other tree down. Now, this may be the first time in history that tying a running chainsaw to something didn't end in bloodshed. But then we remembered that the People's Movie Critic's dad had a similar idea. And the fact that the People's Movie Critic has all 10 fingers shows it worked. Hey, Lamar.
Hey, Lamar.
Hey, evidently my dad was an engineer before his time. I don't know.
What was that? I was trying to remember what he made you do.
We had a pear tree that was in our front yard, and it had been struck by lightning, and so half of the trunk is gone, but we're still maintaining this tree. And so it needed to be, we had a limb up in the top that was dead and needed to be cut. And so my dad decides, I was 11 or 12, and he says, you know, you love to climb trees. He said, so what we're going to do is you're going to climb up in the tree. I'm going to tie a rope to the chainsaw. I'm going to throw you the rope. He said, then I'm going to crank the chainsaw on the ground because it would be dangerous for you to try to crank it in the tree. And he said, you're going to pull the running chainsaw up on the rope. Once you get the handle on the chainsaw, then you go ahead and you cut the tree limb down, and then you can lower the chainsaw back down on the rope.
I'm
up there, and this is his best piece of safety advice. He said, once you get the chainsaw up there, if you start to fall out of the tree, try to throw the chainsaw away from your body, if at all possible.
Good advice. Yeah. See, he had your best interest at heart.
See, this is back in the days when kids were pretty much expendable. You know what I'm saying? If something happens to this one, surely we can have another one.
Yeah, exactly. So how did that work? Were you able to do that?
Honestly, yeah, I was. I pulls it up. The chainsaw's running. I cut the limb. It was flawless. It was absolutely flawless. And, in fact, my dad was celebrating with another drink of liquor because that seems to be his modus operandi. So
wow.
Can you imagine me doing that with Hampton at the age of 11?
No.
When I was seven, he put me on the riding lawnmower, cranked it, and put it in gear because we had a really big yard. And he said, just keep riding around till you finish or you run out of gas. I'll come out and check on you every once in a while. Because I couldn't stop it or anything. All I could do was stare it around the yard.
You were 7 years old?
7 years old. Listen, when I was like 11 or 12, he needed to bush hog the pasture. So he put me up on the bush hog. And he gets everything running, and right before I leave, he goes, now look, you heard about the guy up the road here that got killed. He said, don't fall off of the tractor. If you start to fall, try to go to the left or right, because if you fall down, the bush hog will chop you up. And I'm like, okay, no problem.
Once again, age 11?
Yeah.
You know what,
it is a miracle that you're here.
If you're going to be raised like this, it's important that nobody sugarcoats stuff. They didn't say stuff like, now pay attention, because if you fall, you could get hurt. When they say, pay attention, because if you fall, that bush hog will chop you up, means you're going to pay attention.
You know, it's a real mental image.
I was lighting up along that steering wheel. I wasn't letting go.
I'll bet. Well, thank God you survived it all. We thought you'd enjoy hearing the story about the guy's invention with the house.
That sounds less dangerous. I'll go ahead and give him that.
I'll tell you what.
Well, yeah, because he attached the chainsaw to a treehouse, not an 11-year-old.
All right, we got Lamar with us right now. For many people, it's the first day of school. Sherry just gave us a heartwarming remembrance of walking with some of her classmates to the Blessed Virgin Mary School.
Lamar, smoking outside the liquor store. Yeah. Hey, Lamar.
Do you have any recollections of first day of school,
man,
Lamar?
I remember my very first day of school in the first grade. I was so excited. My mom had bought me a brand new pair of chubby husky blue jeans from Sears. I had a new pair of Converse All-Stars. I was packing new crayons, four of them fat red pencils, and the best part was I had early lunch. I was ready for business.
Hey, well, how early was early lunch?
It was like 10:30.
Yeah, I know. That cracks me up.
That's ideal for you, though.
Oh, I would love it, yeah.
Wait a minute. I'd already had breakfast at 7:30. By 10:30, I'm fixing to kill something. I got to have something to eat. get in the classroom and all the kids were all sitting down, and all of a sudden we heard what sounded like a dying cat coming down the hall, screeching and yelling and whining. Turns out it was a little girl. And let me say, Autumn was her name, and going to school was definitely not her game. She was not far. She gets to the door, and she latches on to the door frame. I mean, she would have made a great WWF wrestler. I mean, she had that door frame. She was not coming in. She had her mama and her daddy. They called the principal down, the teacher. I thought they was going to have to get the janitor to beat her with a broom. She was not coming in. They finally prized her off of the door frame, literally carried her down the aisle and set her in the chair. And every time they'd let her loose, she'd jump up. So her mama, for the first week, her mama had to come in. It was like that for the first couple of days. For the first week, her mama had to sit back there with her and keep her in the chair.
Hear of kids like this.
Lamar, I went through the same exact experience with a little boy. This was the first day of kindergarten. It's amazing what you remember. Charlie Hale, who lived right up the street from me. Kindergarten was in the gymnasium for some reason. That's where they had it set up. And so I went right in there. My mother dropped me off, and I sat down in my little chair. Charlie Hale was dropped off, and he sat down and wailed for like an hour and a half. And see if you agree with me, looking at that little girl who wouldn't let go of the door, did you not feel like such a superior kid?
Oh, yeah. Only thing worried me was I thought she might know something I didn't know. There was some disappointments, because when I got to that early lunch and I went through and the food looked great. And I mean, they was heaping it up on the thing. And when I got ready to get me something to drink, they had the milk sitting there. And I said, excuse me. I said, where can I pick up some tea?
What a sweet tea.
And she said, no. You can only drink milk for lunch. And I'm thinking, what? Who drinks milk with a meal? You use milk for cereal. What are you talking about? I thought I was going to freak out. It took me forever to learn to drink milk with food.
You know, that never would have even occurred to me.
I can't remember the first time I saw what you were offered in the cafeteria. I guess it would look, in the eyes of a first grader,
it's like cruise
fantastic.
Ship food.
Fantastic.
Yeah. It's like the Lido deck.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And listen, it didn't take me long to figure out, if you're charming lunchroom ladies, they give you a little extra. Look at you,
a player in the first grade.
With lunchroom ladies.
You know what this story proves to us? That we really are who we are by age six. Because at age six, Bob was already ready to leave home and strike out on his own.
Yeah.
At age six, Charlie Hale knew that school was a sucker's bet. And at age six, the People's Movie Critic was charming the ladies out of an extra biscuit.
Listen. All I knew was women had something I wanted. It just happened to be butter beans at that time.
Okay. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the takeaway quote of the week. All right, man. Well, hey, listen, go ahead and wish the kids good luck.
Hey, good luck to you. You may not believe it. It's the best days of your life. Stay with it, because when you get out, the world sucks.
Oh, listen, we've had a great time going back in time. Thank you for taking the time to be with us. Hope y'all had a good time. You see, this proves right now, I never gave up. This is why I hate a quitter. That's why I'm here today. So I look forward to y'all checking us out again on the next episode of Talkin' Lamar. Until then.
Thank you so much for listening to Talkin' Lamar, the Oddcast, and the Bob and Sherry Podcast. We would really love it if you would subscribe, rate and review, and share it with a friend on Facebook, Instagram, wherever you go. And thank you again for listening.
Don't pay retail for your diamond engagement ring or gift. Come to cleanorigin.com. Founded by a leading family in the diamond industry for more than a century, we're experts in lab-grown diamonds because that's all we do. Clean Origin, the only diamond jewelers who give you a 100-day, no-questions-asked return on your purchase. Head to cleanorigin.com or one of our retail stores and mention code RADIO10 for 10% off your purchase. That's cleanorigin.com, code RADIO10.